says Ve'ela Mishpatim Ashatasim Lefneim. These are the judgments that you should place before them. And Rashi says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't say I'll teach them halacha two or three times, but not trouble them to understand the reasons of it and explanations. That's why it says Ashatasim Lefneim, like a table that's set to prepare to be eaten from, placed before the person, which means that when you're teaching somebody as a Rebbe or as a Mechanech or even as a parent, when you're teaching, there should be no room for error, to work it out that they have a clear understanding of the subject matter to the best of your ability. And a Rebbe can't really say that they did enough. And in Igros Moshe, Pnina Maltaya brings this down. I don't have the exact makar of the exact which Igros Moshe it is. But he says it's an Igros Moshe that Rabbi Moshe says really is talks about Mechanchim in Torah and explains how they should teach and how they far they should go to try to reach out to every single Talmud, to every single student. And he writes that Torah study is not like any other study. A Torah teacher has to explain the matter, subject matter, very well until the Talmud becomes clear in the lesson, until he accepts it as a way of life, meaning it's not just a teaching matter and you have a lesson, you go on to the next lesson. The key of a Rebbe is to work as best as he could to put into his students that the lessons of Torah go into his being, to go into his neshama. In other words, when he studies, for example, the halachas of tefillah, if he learns the halachas of tefillah and does not pray better, or better kavana, or better feeling, then the Rebbe didn't fill that obligation. Teaching Torah means infusing that Torah in the minds of the hearts of each and every student. Then when, for example, the example he gives, if he's teaching Hilchis Tefillah, it should be to a point, and the way he puts it, the Rebbe, and the way he emphasizes it is that it goes into the Talmud's heart, to the extent that the Talmud himself now davens with more kavana. And he says that a Rebbe should never give up on a student, even if he can't grasp a lesson, even if he's not yet committed. Now, he says that, you know, the situations where he's negatively affecting other students, and that's a shaila, you know, it's always a shaila in schools when you bring in children that could affect other children in a negative way. And we're not going to get into that, but that's a factor. That's certainly a factor. But if they are not that way and they're not harming anyone in any way, but you know, it's just that they're having trouble grasping something, you keep them and you mechazik them and you work through with them. And he brings down from Yehuda, Tzedakah Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he would say that a true Marbitz Torah is completely devoted to his students. That's why it says, in Chazal, it says, if his Rebbe is like a Malach Elikim, then Yivakshu Torah Mepihu, then you seek Torah from his mouth. And if not, not. And the Chachamim explain, it's because a Malach can only do one Shlichus at a time, cannot do two separate missions. Therefore, he's devoted totally to his Talmidim. And that is a big Yesod. And a Rebbe's relationship to his Talmud is very unique. He shapes his future. And with having that in mind, to have kavana with each Talmud and to daven for each Talmud and have in mind each Talmud. And if you couldn't reach them, you just keep on davening for them. That's a big, big yesod. And the Pnina Maltaya brings down a beautiful idea how to look at Talmidim in general and to look at the youth in general. He brings down that a story about Rabbi Bulman in Yeshiva Ar Sameach. It was Yom Kippur, right after Kol Nidre, and he went up to address people who are Balei Tshuva that just came back to Yiddishkeit. And he looked at his students as his children. And that's the way he looked at him. And he said as follows. He said, in many Jewish homes, before leaving shul Erev Yom Kippur, the fathers, mothers, take their children aside and they bench them. It's a custom that goes back many centuries. The Birchas Habonim, it's called, the blessing of the children. And he says many of you come from homes that your parents have no idea of what this blessing is about. And therefore, tonight is your first opportunity for Birchas Habonim. And as a Rebbe, I'm giving you that special Birchas Habonim. And he gave them that bracha, Yivarechecha Hashem, and so on. And he gave it to all of them. He said a bracha for all of them, just like a parent benches their child. Before he did that, he said that the Panit of Vizhurav, Rabbi Yosef Kahneman, Zechet Tzadik of Racha, he established the yeshiva Panit of Vizhim B'nai Barak, but he also opened up an orphanage. Because after World War II, Nebuch, many people were Yesayimim, young youth, and he built a orphanage. This orphanage he called Batei Avais, the homes of the fathers, and people were curious about that name. The accepted name to call orphanages were called Beis Yesayimim, the home of the orphans. He called it Batei Avais, the homes of our fathers. Why did he name them that? Because he said he wanted his children and their teachers to focus on their bright future ahead, not the painful past. And as these little boys, these Yesayimim, or these little girls, become adults, they are fathers and mothers in Klal Yisrael. They're part of our nation's future. That's why I'm not calling them Batei Yesayimim. They're Batei Avais. They're the bottom of our forefathers. You are going to be a forefather to be Mamshech Dairis further. And he's saying, I'm doing the same. When I give you a bracha, a Birchas Habonim, I won't call it Birchas Habonim. I'm going to call it Birchas Avais because I'm emphasizing your future, enabling you with this bracha that you will be Mamshech Me'at Hashem. You'll marry and you'll Mamshech future new generations that will be a pride to Klal Yisrael. This is how you look upon people that are, you're being mashpia. This is how you look at Talmidim. Another insight from this week's parsha, also brought down in Panini Mala Torah, talks about Midvar Sheker Terchak, the importance of distancing yourself from falsehood. Even if things seem parah, what's the big deal? You know, if you twist around the truth a little bit, if it has no major ramification, no. It's very, very important to keep that going and keep it strong. And make sure that you're always truthful. Even when you're crying, it's interesting. He brings down the Chazal, and Bamitzia, it says, Bamitzia daf nun tes amid aleph, that from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, all gates of prayer were closed, but the Shari Demois Laninalu, the gates of tears were always open. And Rav Simcha from Peshitta asks the question, why do you need gates for? If it's always open, then you don't need gates. Get rid of the gates. Just leave an open door. Why are there gates in the first place? And he answers that there are sincere tears and insincere tears. If you're crying for the wrong reasons or misguided motivations, then the gates indeed close. That's why you have those gates. When it means loininalu, means sincere tears. And this is an important thing. Even your tears and those emotions have to come with a truth, with a feeling of truth. There's integrity, emes. It's one of the three pillars which the world stands on, as you see at the end of Perek Rishon in Perkei Avais. And the Yalkut Me'amloiz and Shemai says that's because of this netia towards sheker, towards falsehood, is why we're suffering from this galus. Doesn't mean open sheker necessarily, but even these white lies. And it's very, very important. That's why it says tirchak, to be further. And the way Rabbi Zusha von Anapoli teaches, midvar sheker, from the falsehood, tirchak, you become distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's many stories about the honesty of Klal Yisrael, of the Gedolei Yisrael, as lessons. And the Bein Abachaya wrote a sefer called Kad HaKemach. It's kedai to learn it. It has subject matters on many, many, many topics of Torah and Yerushalayim. And we say in Tfilas Ashrei there, Karov Hashem l'chol kairov. Hashem is close to all those who call upon him. L'chol ashikra'uhu behemes. Whoever calls upon them with truth, which means that Hashem listens to people that live their lives with an emes, with an integrity. There's a famous story about the Chazayin Ish. He would have a minyan in his house. The minyan took place 12:30. They were short a 10th person. The clock was running. It became 10:45. Finally, a 10th person came to the minyan. But right before Ashrei, the Chazaynish's brother-in-law, Shmuel Greineman, turned to the Chazaynish and said, I have a 1 o'clock appointment meeting with somebody. If I stay here for Mincha, I'll be late for the meeting and the person is waiting. So what should I do? And the Chazaynish answered him that coming late for the meeting is deceitful. An honest man has to keep his appointments in a timely fashion. And we have to be Mavatal the Minyan because otherwise there'll be a sheker here. And so you see how he was Mavatal even a Minyan Betzibur, because by coming late to an appointment, you're sending to the other person that his feelings don't mean anything. And you're violating a principle of Torah that's so important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have this in many other stories, the same thing. You had a story once that the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, he used to say that when young, innocent children turn away from Torah, and very often people say it's because of Timtum Alev, maybe they ate Macholas Asuras, they ate forbidden foods. But he explains that Macholas Asuras, forbidden foods that they eat, doesn't mean necessarily treif, treif like chazer or things like that. But even eating from funds that were gained in an illegal way, in a not kosher way, that also affects them. And there's a story about him that he was on traveling by train, and the conductor would collect the fares and issue tickets. And he started it in the second class section, but later in the trip he moved to the first class section because it had more seats and it was quieter. And he wasn't able to concentrate on his learning, so he went to the first class section. Now, normally the conductor used to come around for his fees, and the Rosh Hashiva was ready to pay him the fee for the first class section. And the conductor did not come by. So at the end of the trip, he went to the conductor and paid the money. And the conductor said, no reason to. You paid for the second class. There was room anyway. And he insisted on paying that money. The Ryaka Kamenetsky has a story also that he said you shouldn't call in sick for Purim. If that's the only way to get out of work Purim, to say you're sick and you're not sick, that's Midvar Sheker Tirchak. You can't call in sick if you're not sick. It's dishonest. Now, you have to ask a shaila these days, because very often, quote-unquote, sick days, it's understood maybe that it means that, if you're not, you could use it if you don't, otherwise you lose it. So you could use it. That's another part of the understanding. So you ask a shaila about this, how it works, b'zman hazeh, based on the understanding of employees and employers in the dinei of Shulchan Aruch. But at least at that particular time where the shaila was asked, it was a standard practice that a sick day was a sick day, and that's what it was for. So if you're not sick, and you say you're sick, and you, in order to spend Purim with your family and friends, that is usur. That's what he said. So you see here from all of this the importance of emes. So we talked today two major yesodos, the way to be mechanech, talmidim, to see the spark in them, to bring out their potential, to make things very clear to them, but they avais that their mamshech doyra is further, potential mashpiyim, and the idea of staying and sticking to the MS. Have a wonderful Shabbos.